Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And it's not just me. There's a lot of people that are supporting me and helping you with your financial freedom. See, that's how we roll at Lifestyles Unlimited. You've never heard of Lifestyles Unlimited? Okay. Well, Lifestyles Unlimited is a company that was formed 31 years ago by a gentleman by the name of Del Walmsley. He's the founder and CEO of the company. And he founded the company specifically to help people like you and me achieve retirement in a much faster pace than whatever we have been doing in our lives for retirement. I know, it's kind of cool, isn't it? And now here's the neat thing about Lifestyles Unlimited. It does two things, and only two things. But it does those two things extremely well. So the first thing, which is the most important thing that Lifestyles Unlimited does for you, is we teach you how to successfully invest in real estate. And not just any kind of real estate. I'm talking about the most productive segment of the real estate market. See, in our words, we believe the residential side is the most productive side. Now, there's other elements to real estate. And the majority of those elements, well, they lie in a place called commercial real estate. But we don't invest in a lot of those forms of commercial real estate. And there's a myriad of reasons why, but the most important one is the fact that you live somewhere. Now think about it. You live somewhere, right? You either own the place where you live or you're renting the place where you live. Either way, it costs you money to live there, whether you own it, whether you rent it. Now, there are people in our society that have no desire to buy real estate to live in. For whatever reason, they choose not to do it. Maybe it's an affordability issue. Maybe it's a, I don't want to get stuck in one place issue. Maybe it's a whole myriad of things. Who knows? But I will tell you this, there's a lot of people out there that choose to rent their real estate. And when a lot of people choose to rent their real estate, people like me who invest in real estate find that we have an excellent business opportunity to connect with those people and not only to provide them clean, functional workforce housing, but they in turn are paying us a monthly rent in a timely manner, which we use to operate our business. It works extremely well. And when you have a resident that has their act together. In other words, they understand that they're renting a place to live, and they understand that that rent is due on the first of the month, and they understand that they are not to abuse the property. I mean, they can get normal wear and tear, but they're not supposed to tear the property up. When you have a resident that does that, you found a great person to be in business with. As a matter of fact, residents like that make you want to go the extra mile. I firmly believe that. I believe it so much that I'm invested in the residential side of real estate. Now, you've probably heard some horror stories out there. You've probably heard talk about how real estate is really risky, or it takes a lot of money, or it takes a ton of time to do it. And I'm here to tell you, those are something called false beliefs. See, those are beliefs that have been imprinted into your mind that you believe are true. And every once in a while, you'll read a story or you'll hear a story that talks about all of this negativity. And when that story comes up, it reinforces in your mind those false beliefs. Now, you may be sitting there going, yeah, I know, dude, real estate. I know I hear you talk about real estate on the show all the time. I know you keep talking about how it can produce better returns than what I'm doing right now. But man, those false beliefs in my brain rattling around in there, they're making me believe none of that's true. They're making me believe that you have to be super lucky, uber lucky, if you will, in order to make those kind of returns. And I'm here to tell you, that's just a bunch of nonsense. It really is just a bunch of nonsense. Zillow. You've heard of Zillow, right? Yeah, Zillow is one of those giant entities out there that provides a service in the technology space. See, Zillow is trying to become the one-stop shop, if you will, for everything real estate related, especially when it comes to the residential segments of real estate. Zillow, well, they actually ventured into something that they called iBuyers. Did you hear of iBuyers? Yeah, so Zillow decided that as part of what they were going to do, they were going to analyze the real estate markets, and then based on all of these algorithms that they built, they felt that they could predict the real estate markets. But it all kind of blew up in their face, because one of the things that Zillow failed to understand was that real estate is local. That's right. Real estate is local. It's local to your community. It's not necessarily one size fits all. And I think that's where Zillow got into trouble, is they didn't fully understand that all of these little marketplaces come together to create the giant real estate marketplace. But it's those little independent markets, those little communities that are driving the marketplace. Now, in some places, appreciation does better than others. In other places, rent returns do better. And Zillow, well, they were trying to figure this all out. They really were. They were trying to crack the code. But what they found out was that their algorithms, they couldn't replace good old-fashioned down-to-earth knowledge. And at Lifestyles Unlimited, that's exactly what we provide. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you more about what we do and how it can benefit you. Stick around.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this, because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right. I think Zillow is a pretty fascinating organization. I really do. I mean, when they started out, they were competing with other firms that were trying to get a hold of real estate data. Now, real estate data is not easy to obtain, because to be honest with you, most real estate transactions are private transactions. They're between two private parties. Now, in some localities, real estate transactions are recorded when it comes to, you know, who the new owner is and what the price paid for the property is. But in other places, they don't record what the price paid for the property is. They only record the changing of the ownership. So Zillow went about trying to make it their mission to peel back every onion that they could to develop data. To develop data that could be useful to people like, well, you and me. And to be honest with you, I'm not a Zillow hater. I'm really not a Zillow hater. I actually think that Zillow has done some pretty good things, especially when it comes to presenting data. But one of the things that they didn't do a very good job of was the analysis of pricing in marketplaces. Yeah, so they got into trouble thinking that a particular property in one location would be worth a certain amount of money. And they went about renovating some of these properties to put this property on the market, thinking they would attract a bigger price. But when the market forces occurred, see, that's what happens in the marketplace. Market forces occur. When those properties were put on the market, those properties didn't move. The reason they didn't move was because similar properties were being placed on the market for a lot less money. So what Zillow was ultimately doing was helping their competitors to sell because the pricing that they put on their property was not supported by the marketplace. That's a failure in their algorithms, which they did not uncover until a lot of the damage was done. Zillow was one of those firms that decided it was going to get involved with single-family rentals, to operate single-family rentals, and to build up an inventory of properties or a portfolio of single-family properties that they could ultimately sell. But whatever they were doing with their algorithms gave them bad data. And that bad data translated into all the, well, the bad news that you've been hearing about Zillow exiting their disastrous iBuying business. Because at the end of the day, they're overpaying for homes in a highly competitive market, and they couldn't flip the properties. Yeah, they were flipping properties. And yes, even as a corporate entity, or I'm not really 100% sure how they're organized tax-wise, but they're subject to the same laws you and I are, which means if you're flipping property, you can make money, but your taxes on the gains that you make are going to be pretty high. The reason they're pretty high is because you're taxed at an ordinary tax rate. Whatever your tax rate is, that's what you pay taxes on. So if you're in the 25 to 35% tax zone, you're going to pay 25 to 35% tax on the gain. And you're classified as self-employed. Therefore, you get to pay both sides, Social Security and Medicare. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure how all that actually works if you're a faceless entity like Zillow, but I do know this. They couldn't turn a profit doing what they were doing, which tells me they got into a business model that they were not prepared for. So what does all this have to do with Lifestyles Unlimited? Well, absolutely everything, to be honest with you. Because the first thing that we're going to do at Lifestyles Unlimited is we're going to teach you the correct way to invest in real estate. We're going to teach you the fundamentals of real estate investing. You're going to get the information that you need so that you can go out into the marketplaces that you choose to invest with. You can analyze those marketplaces and you can make informed decisions about an asset before you throw money down on it. You heard me correctly. You make an informed decision on an asset before you throw money down on it. Yeah. So what does that really mean, Al? Come on, what does that really mean? Okay. This is what it means. I don't care where you live in the United States. I don't care where you invest in the United States. But here's what I know. I know that you can invest where you want and you can live where you want. I know that those two locations do not have to be the same place. I know a multitude of Lifestyles Unlimited members that do exactly what I just explained to you. Oh, by the way, I'm one of those guys. Yeah, see, I live in the hill country of Texas. I live just outside of San Antonio. I do not live in San Antonio. I want to be very clear about that. I live outside of San Antonio. But I invest my money in a lot of places. And it's not necessarily in my backyard. Now, I do have some assets that are within an hour's drive of where I live. But I also have assets that are outside of an hour's drive of where I live. So you're probably thinking, okay, so how do you do this, man? I've heard that you actually have to check on your property all the time. And I'm here to tell you, that's not true. You don't have to be at your property all the time. As a matter of fact, I know a guy by the name of Isaac. Now, Isaac just happens to be one of our single family mentors. Oh, by the way, that's the second thing that Lifestyles Unlimited does extremely well. We provide dedicated mentoring services. So if you feel that you need a mentor that's been there, done that, that's pretty much been handpicked by the founder and CEO of our company, those services are available to you too. But having said that, Isaac was living in Miami, Florida when he bought a bunch of properties in Houston, Texas. So why did he choose Houston, Texas of all places? Well, because he got the returns that he was looking for in the Houston market. As a matter of fact, he also found that he could put the least amount of cash out of pocket down on a property, renovate the property, get it on the marketplace, and then finance out of the deal with long-term conventional financing, and those properties would pay him a handsome cash flow every month. He did that one property after another, after another, after another, until I think he got to six properties, and that was enough properties for his wife, Carolyn, to stop working. She was able to walk away from corporate America, and what she was able to do was dedicate her time to the real estate business. And then with a couple more properties, Isaac was able to get himself retired as well. So get this, I'm talking about two people with a very young child, actually they've got two children now, who are still in their 30s, who are absolutely real estate retired. Now they didn't start with a massive bag of money. So you're probably wondering how they did this. Well, stick around, I'll fill you in.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I was talking about Isaac last segment, and I was telling you that Isaac, I think when he got to about 11 properties, he was able to not only retire himself, but also his wife, Carolyn. Actually, he retired her first, and then he took care of himself afterwards. So what's it like to be in your 30s and be real estate retired? Well, since I've had Isaac on the show before, I know the answer. The answer is simply fantastic. It's a fantastic feeling to be retired in your 30s, not trading time for money in corporate America, not trading time for money being self-employed, not being at the beck and call of someone else, having to jump when they say jump, and you have to say, how high do you want me to jump? You know that old joke, right? So Isaac is just one of these guys that I know in Lifestyles Unlimited that got himself retired in less than 5 years. I'm here to tell you, you can do it too. You may not think you can do it. Maybe you've got something in the back of your mind telling you, man, I don't know, real estate, I don't know if I can do real estate. It sounds like it's too hard. It's like a bridge too far. And I'm here to tell you, it's not. It's not too hard. It's not a bridge too far. As a matter of fact, if you give me 16 hours of your precious time, I can teach you everything you need to know. Now, personally, me teaching you, that's not going to happen. Now, I don't teach our members how to do this stuff. We have people that are much more qualified to do that than I am. As a matter of fact, the people that will actually teach you are self-made millionaires. They've become self-made millionaires by doing the things that Del Walmsley taught us all to do. Not only did these people achieve retirement in 5 years or less, they now are living the lifestyle that they desire, and they're giving back. Yeah, you heard me correctly. They're giving back. See, at Lifestyles Unlimited, one of the things in our culture, and I think this is the most important thing in our culture, is a desire to help each other as well as help other people. It's huge. If you go into a business deal trying to screw everybody over, you may, in the process, find that the person being screwed is not the person you're trying to do it to. It might be you. I think it's a terrible way to do business. Yet there are people out there that believe that the only way to get ahead is to like stick a knife in your back and twist as rapidly as they can. We don't believe that at Lifestyles Unlimited. No, we don't. We believe that for you to get what you want, you're going to have to help other people get what they want. And in turn, when you help them get what they want, they will get you what you want. It's like that mumbo jumbo stuff we learned in college, right? We psychology 101 or whatever class it was that, you know, we talked about all this sort of stuff. All right, let me break it down for you. I'm currently rehabbing one of my rental properties. And in doing so, I have several people on my team that are providing me excellent service. Yeah, excellent service. I have a plumbing team because this particular property had some foundation problems. And as a result of the foundation being corrected, it caused plumbing problems. The plumbing is remedied now in this property. I couldn't do that myself. I don't have the skill. I don't have the knowledge. I certainly don't have the desire to do that type of work. Yet, I have somebody on my team that brings all of that to the table. Not only does he bring all of that to the table, he's also a master plumber, meaning this guy knows everything that he needs to know about plumbing systems, whether it's for residential properties or just about anything else. This guy's been there, done that. He's taken all the tests and he's teaching other people. And this is the guy I have working on my properties. The reason I have him is because I want the best job at the best price. And that's what I get. This guy is a problem solver. He figures out exactly what needs to be done. He gets it done effectively, efficiently, and for the best price possible. Trust me, if I were doing the plumbing work on this property, I'd still be looking for the wrench to disconnect the faucet from the sink. Yeah, that's why I have other people on my team. So you think about it. I had to pay him money to do those repairs. But in turn, he made a living wage. He made a living wage that he was able to take home to his beautiful wife, so that they can enjoy their life together. See, he didn't have to go home thinking, Oh, man, it was a tough day at work, honey. I can't find any plumbing jobs. No, he went home knowing that he had cash in the bank because he did a great job for me. I paid him in a timely manner, and he was able to do what he does with his life. Now, that's not the only person I have on my team. I have, well, he's kind of a handyman. Yeah, I guess he's technically a handyman. But he does great work. He does all kinds of things. He does carpentry. He does flooring. He will paint my properties. He will do just about all of the work that I need him to do, except for what I consider the skilled trades, like foundation work, roofing, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. He doesn't do those things. I have different people that do those things. But as far as everything else, he's dialed in. See, he understands the rental laws in the community where this particular property is at. So when we walk through the property, I mean, he was picking up on things that I was looking for, but he was getting to them quicker than I did. For instance, did you know that if you have a rental property and you're going to make this property available for rent, short-term, long-term, whatever, and you're in the San Antonio market, and the city of San Antonio has some authority over you with regards to any ordinances that they've put in place regarding properties, you have to abide by all those laws. Yeah, so the point is, if you're operating in the San Antonio market, you probably have to have a pretty good idea of how to operate in the San Antonio market. This gets back to my argument at the earlier part of the show, talking about real estate is really a lot more local, and that's part of the reason Zillow had a problem. See, my guy, when he walked through the property with me the first time, I mean, he picked up on a couple things. One of those things was, hey, you need a peephole in the garage door. And you're thinking to yourself, a peephole in the garage door, huh? Which, well, you mean like the roll-up door? Or are you talking about the door that goes into the garage? Well, it's actually the door that goes into the garage. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's kind of a weird place to put a peephole. Why do you have to do that? And the answer is this. I don't know. But the law says I have to do it, which tells me that something happened in the city of San Antonio or someplace else in the city of San Antonio picked up on this and said, okay, we need to make sure this is put into our ordinances, that every rental property has this so that we can help to prevent the bad effects that occur when you don't have a peephole in the garage door. It's really a safety thing. It all boils down to a safety thing. It gives the resident an opportunity to look through a peephole into the garage just to be safe, because maybe they had left the garage door open. Now think about that, and maybe somebody bad walked in. So, having these great people on my team, it's awesome. We come back from the break. Shall we talk about the numbers? Let's do that. Let's talk about numbers.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So real estate investing, it really all starts off with education. It does. Everything that you will do as an investor will come from some form of knowledge base. You're either going to be self-taught or you're going to go out and find somebody like us, Lifestyles Unlimited, to teach you the effective way to invest. Now, some of you are the mindset, I don't need to spend any money on you guys. I mean, I can go buy a book. I can learn how to do all this stuff. And for some of you, that's a true statement. For some of you, that's a very true statement. You're able to pick up a book. You're able to learn all the lessons that that book is teaching you. And then you're able to go ahead and put those lessons into place. But here's your problem. Which book? Which book do you choose? I will tell you, I've read a lot of real estate investing books. And the biggest problem that I found with a lot of these real estate investing books is that they give you the higher level information. They give you the concepts. They even get a little bit into the tactical level. In other words, the things that you need to do. But the majority of these books, and I should say the authors of these books, they're aware of something very particular. They know that real estate is local and that one size does not fit all. That the techniques that they're talking about in these books may work in some places and not work in other places. So as a result of that, they tend to be very, very general in their approach with regards to what you should do to invest. The other thing that you need to figure out is you got to figure out whether you're going to be an investor or you're going to be a property flipper. Now, some of you are scratching your head and saying, well, aren't they the same? Aren't they the same? I mean, you're buying real estate, right? Well, not really. They are, but they aren't. That's probably a better way to describe it. You see, the property flipper does things in the same manner that a property investor does them. The difference is that the property investor does not liquidate the property immediately. They don't turn around and sell the property off like the flipper does. And this gets me back to the comment I made in the second segment of the show with regards to taxation. See, the IRS is very clear about who a real estate investor is and who a real estate investor is not. A real estate investor is classified by the IRS as a person that buys and holds real estate and owns it for at least a year and a day before they dispose of it. If they choose to dispose of the asset, they can do so. They will be subject to taxation. It's all part of tax law. It's all out there. But how you're taxed, well, it's different than how the flipper's taxed. See, you are liable for long-term capital gains rates. Long-term capital gains rates are taxed at a lower rate than what you're probably paying for your ordinary taxes. See, if you're classified as a real estate flipper, somebody that buys the property, fixes it up, turns around and sells it, owns it for less than a year, you're considered a short-term investor. I don't even think they use the word investor. As a matter of fact, the word that they used was dealer. Yeah, kind of like an automotive dealer. In this case, they're treating you like you're buying an asset, turning around, selling it, which is exactly what you're doing. See, they believe when you hold an asset of real estate for less than a year, you're self-employed. And as somebody who's classified as self-employed, you get to pay taxes at whatever your ordinary tax rate is. So if you're like in the 25 to 35% range, that's what you're going to pay in taxes on the gain on that property. You're also privileged to pay not just half of, but all of Social Security and Medicare taxes. That works out to 15.3%. So your effective tax rate on this transaction could be like 40 to 50%. It might actually be worse if you're in places where they have state income taxes or even local income taxes. Now, where I'm at, the state of Texas and the city I live in, those don't exist. But I don't have to worry about them because I don't flip property. No, I don't flip property at all. I buy and I hold my property because all of my property has a specific purpose. In other words, I will go into the deal, analyzing the deal for what it can do for me. Some of the things that I personally look for in a deal, I'm looking for something that's going to give me at least 18% cash on cash. In other words, when I put my money into the deal, I want that money to generate about an 18% or better cash flow on an annualized basis. I'm also looking for an equity capture in the property. I like to see at least $15,000 of captured equity. Now, some of you are confused by that term captured equity. You don't understand what that means. Well, captured equity is just this. Let's say there's a property out there that you can buy for $100,000. And when the property's all fixed up, it's worth, say, $200,000. Now, let's say the entire cost for acquisition and renovation gets you up to, say, $175,000. That is your total all-in amount that you are paying for that property. Yet, when the property is already, it's worth $200,000, but you don't sell it. You don't sell it. See, that captured equity is really something called an unrealized capital gains. In other words, something has to happen to get that money out. But the difference between $175,000 and $200,000, well, that's $25,000 in captured equity. That's equity that you built into the deal. See, most people go out and they buy income-producing real estate, and they have a tendency to pay retail pricing, meaning they pay that full $200,000. But because we'll go out and we'll find that distressed asset, we'll buy it for, say, 50 cents on the dollar, we'll throw another amount of money, say $75,000 total cost for repairs and for carrying costs and for escrow fees and closing costs and all that sort of stuff. When it's all done, there's an extra $25,000 of value in that property from day one. But if you pay full retail, if you go out and you pay that $200,000, you haven't captured any equity. The only equity you get in the deal is the equity of cash that you put into the deal to buy the property. Now, you're probably wondering, well, wait a minute, how is it you buy it one way and we buy it another way? Okay, that's a fair question. We use something called hard money. In other words, when I go to buy an asset, I'm not using all of my cash. If I need $100,000 to buy the house and I need another $75,000 for all the closing and repair costs, I need $175,000. It's my all-in pricing. Yet I have a relationship with a hard money lender that I do business with that understands my business model, that's willing to loan me 70%. That works out to be $140,000 to do this deal. So I'm only coming into the deal with about $35,000 of my own money. My price point into this deal is much less than, let's say, I just went out and I found a property that was worth $200,000. I put $40,000 down so I can take out an 80% note. Yeah. So here's the thing. With all that captured equity and the equities that I brought to the table, I have a lot more equity floating around in this particular property. And as a result of that, one of the things that I'm looking for is a future exit point. You see, I solved the cash flow thing because I've got a great resident in there taking care of my property and paying me on a timely basis every month. So I've got good cash flows coming in. What I'm waiting for is the equity growth. Now, I can't control the equity markets out there. I can't control what people think real estate is worth. But I will tell you this. As days pass, real estate is going up in value. Yeah, real estate today is worth a lot more than it was, say, 20 years ago. It's worth a lot more today than it was, say, 10 years ago. I will tell you this. It's worth a lot more today than it was 4.5 years ago when I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. I have seen the markets mature over time. And ironically, we're maturing right along with them. So, a lot to unpack today. I'll tell you what, the best way for you to crack this code is go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com. When you get there, sign up for one of our free workshops. We'll actually explain everything that I talked about today in detail. So get there and get started.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.